I'm Bob Perot, and it's time for our weekly look at another Culleton, Cusack, and Warmerdam inquest jury recommendation. Again, we're looking under the banner of system approaches, collaboration, and communication. We've got our final recommendation under this banner, and joining me, as she does every week, to talk about this is Erin Lee from Lanark County Interval House. Welcome back, Erin.
Good morning, Bob. Nice to be here.
It's always nice to have you here and to hear your perspective on these. It's incredible. And I want to thank you very much for sharing these messages with our listeners. And we're very happy to be providing you the venue in which you can do this. So system approaches, collaboration, and communication. This has been a very interesting section, as they all have, but we're up to number 17 now. And this one says, establish clear guidelines regarding the flagging of perpetrators or potential IPV victims in police databases. Immediate dispatch and police access to the identities and contact information of potential targets and how to notify those targets. And once again, IPV means intimate partner violence. So talk to us a little bit about the significance of recommendation 17, if you could, Erin.
I think recommendation 17 really is about safety, and it's about mitigating risk, and it's about using information as power, but also recognizing that with information comes responsibility.
And okay, and it's not so different as to some of the other recommendations that we've heard, but I think that this one speaks more to the individuals. Whereas before we've been talking about the information, obviously that surrounds individuals, it surrounds circumstances and so on and so forth. But this one in particular really actually sort of focuses on those individuals who are either perpetrating these crimes or at risk of having one of these crimes against them.
Yeah, I think that, you know, again, in Lanark County, we do approach things rather creatively. And I think that when we're talking about safety plans and we're talking about perpetrators and we're talking about potential, I think we have a responsibility to intended victims. And so we have some things in our county. For instance, if you have a premise history on your phone number with the police, a premise history implies that there have been previous issues at your home. And if a 911 call comes from that address that flags a premise history, there is no question, you immediately dispatch police to that address. Sometimes making sure that we have the permission of folks and the support to have a premise history on a number is really difficult for a victim who or survivor who's trying to move on or who perhaps doesn't see the level of risk the same as perhaps police services. So we do have to have those conversations. Premise histories are really, really important. How we know who the perpetrators' targets are also very critical, in especially in this particular situation for the inquest, but also it's one of those issues that's really challenging when systems have information. So it's important that all of those things are articulated well in our systems so that if there's an incident, we can immediately look at the history and look at other victims that have been involved with this perpetrator in the past. So we can immediately try and help those people stay safer. And those pieces can sometimes be complex if we don't immediately go to the history. We immediately need to go when we have a situation like this with a heightened risk elements. We need to then, when we can, go immediately to that history and do something so that we can mitigate those immediate risk and potential targets. The other side of that, Bob, is what happens when we have information and we're not able to share that information. So let's say as an agency, we're working with one victim, but we know that identified abuser has been identified with two other women, but there's no criminal charges. There's nothing substantial enough to kind of mitigate stuff. That's where we sometimes get stuck. But this is really about how do we flag it? How do we communicate? How do we identify who the targets are?
And with no criminal charges, though, like you often hear when somebody does something, you think, well, it doesn't surprise me because of X, Y, or Z or whatever. This puts X, Y, or Z right at the forefront, so that if something is coming up, and you mentioned, the other people who have been involved, letting them know what is occurring, or that they could be at risk. But it shows that history that you were talking about, where, okay, well, what did this perpetrator do in this situation? And then that can prepare people as they go and they deal with a situation that's unfolding. It's a lot more complex than at first glance.
It is absolutely complex, and I think that we want to be able to help people mitigate and stay safer, and we need to have the elements of all the pieces of information. Does the person have a history with access to weapons? Does the person have a history around use of weapons as threats? Does the person, and sometimes, there are gaps in some of that information, which some of the other recommendations that we've already spoken to, including a centralized RMS system, sometimes we can mitigate that by ensuring that the information is available. Because then we're in the midst of a crisis, we are able to immediately look at those historical pieces and then factor in who do we need to contact. Maybe there's a probation officer, or there was a historical issue where in the courts the person threatened the judge. So maybe we need to think about all of those elements as well, not just the people who the perpetrator was in a relationship with in terms of intimate partner violence. We may need to also look outside of that a little bit, especially when we're at a level of crisis where there's so many unknowns.
Absolutely. So again, many layers here to peel away as you do move through these cases. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention about this particular one before we let you go for the week?
No, I think just to say that in Lanark County, we are talking about how we are able to communicate and how do we do premise histories and how do we include that in safety planning with victims to ensure the best possible outcomes. So I would say that again in this recommendation, I would say that Lanark County is definitely already highlighted that. And of course, there's therefore more opportunity for us to then work a little bit deeper on this particular recommendation.
Aaron, I want to thank you again for your time and for your time every week as we go through these. It's very much appreciated, and we look forward to speaking to you again.
I'm very grateful for the opportunity. It's been a huge commitment by the radio station to our community, and it means that you continue to ensure that the recommendations are public every week and that they are newsworthy, and that's really important for the movement forward.
Aaron Lee is the executive director of Lanark County Interval House. She joins us every week. My name is Bob Perot. Thanks so much for listening here on Lake 88 and LanarkLeadsToday.ca.